As we have seen, during the course of World War II, the Blend and Paper Company was again making a profit, not a big profit, but a profit. Certainly that was a contrast to the 1930s. But at the beginning of 1945, as the war was coming to an end, now longtime newsprint manufacturer Charles Blendon saw no particular reasons for optimism. Publisher-manufacturer relations had again deteriorated, and further congressional investigations and additional regulations were expected. More ominously, the Canadian newsprint mills were weathering World War II quite nicely, and management there was inclined towards further expansion. Despite that, some analysts believed that United States manufacturers of newsprint could achieve moderate prosperity, especially on the Pacific coast, where production costs were slightly lower than in the eastern or lake states. But the war had led to new uses and new demands for paper, and newsprint producers saw opportunities not previously available. In any case, the forecast for moderate prosperity was not much of an appeal to newsprint manufacturers who had invested in expensive equipment and plants. And during the mid-1940s, many United States manufacturers who had long struggled to survive the vagaries of the newsprint business and the print paper pendulum sought more rewards by switching production to other kinds of paper. This time, the Blendon Paper Company followed suit. Dependence on quality newsprint production and long-term contracts had not brought adequate return. In an operations report dated February 17, 1945, mill manager C.K. Andrews tersely announced, "Newsprint is to be discontinued." Wow. Newsprint is to be discontinued. And that, of course, had been what the mill in Grand Rapids had done from the very beginning. It was the end of an era for the paper mill in Grand Rapids. At the age of 73, Charles Blendon prepared to chart his company's course along a new path, sole dependence on the manufacture of groundwood papers. Yeah, big and momentous decision indeed. Well, when the Blendon Paper Company ended production of newsprint, it still had a long-term contractual agreement with the St. Paul newspapers. When Blendon had sold those newspapers to the Ritters, he had made sure that it included a clause that they would buy their paper from the Grand Rapids mill. Now, to honor the obligation, the company purchased newsprint from other sources and resold it to the Ritters. In 1945, publisher Bernard Ritter decided the paper's requirements would be better met by a supplier in the business of manufacturing newsprint. He telephoned Blendon requesting that the contract be negated. Blendon was quite willing to cancel the contract, provided that a few details could be satisfactorily resolved and that the Ritters would negotiate their new arrangement with the Minnesota and Ontario Paper Company, which Blendon favored as a cooperating neighbor. Blendon had once remarked, "While we are competitors, they haven't any better friends in the business than we are." Mainly, though, Blendon hoped to keep the Ritter newsprint purchases out of Canada and for the benefit of the manufacturers of newsprint in the United States. Ritter agreed, and after several additional telephone calls, Blendon left by air for New York to attend to some sales matters. Upon his return to St. Paul, Blendon was astonished to find that Bernard Ritter had changed his position and was insisting on retaining the old contract. Ritter's absentee partner brothers, Victor and Joseph, had arrived, and evidently they disagreed with Bernard's decision. Blendon telephoned Bernard Ritter to find out what had happened. Ritter began, "I'm tired out. Those brothers were up arguing and debating until 1 o'clock, and they wear me out, Charlie." Blendon explained that the reversed position embarrassed me quite a lot, as he had proceeded with other business, thinking that earlier conversations had settled the matter. Bernard Ritter blamed Joe and Victor, who decided to come here and handle it themselves. Blendon replied that he thought Bernard Ritter made the decisions in regard to the St. Paul operation. But Bernard maintained he was powerless when his brothers wanted to change things. A short time later, the Ritters did cancel the contract, but not on Blondin's terms. The publishers were free to negotiate their newsprint order with the company of their choice, and they ignored the offers of the Minnesota and Ontario Paper Company, and they did turn to Canada instead. That's unfortunate, but then the Ritters would have no reason to be loyal to newsprint manufacturers, and so they can do as they like here. At any rate, the long association of the Grand Rapids Mill and the St. Paul newspapers ended on a slightly sour note. Nevertheless, for almost 20 years, that 1927 contractual agreement and renewals had been of vital importance to the Blondin Paper Company. The decision to end the manufacture of newsprint in Grand Rapids and to enter entirely into the production of groundwood papers was based on careful analysis of the United States paper market and intensive study of the operation and potential of the mill. The systematic thoroughness that always characterized Charles Blondin's approach to matters of business was again in evidence. Consultation with outside experts provided advice, and many sessions were held with company management, production, and sales personnel who were called upon to discuss every proposal. The sales department conducted far-reaching surveys to determine customer preferences and expectations in regard to groundwood papers. With practical experience of the groundwood market and knowledge of its potential, mill management was well aware that the company's procedures during its initial period of groundwood paper manufacture were not suitable for long-term production. Even though groundwood profits had subsidized the newsprint operation, filling small and diverse orders for scattered customers was very inefficient. In December of 1940, for example, 84 orders for 15 different kinds of paper were filed for 48 customers. The smallest order was for $6.27, and the largest for a little bit over $10,000. But 24 of the 84 orders were for less than $100, and only 19 were for more than $1,000. Specialization coupled with large contract orders and attendant plant standardization appeared highly desirable. Well, the groundwood paper market comprised two major segments: paper for a wide variety of converting purposes, in other words, paper that would be used by, say, those who made wallpaper or wax paper or wrapping paper or whatever, and secondly, paper for printing, primarily for magazines. The Blondin Paper Company had supplied converting customers and obtained first-hand knowledge of that portion of the groundwood market. The converters required exact but varied specifications, and because of their knowledge of paper manufacturing, they tended to be very critical. Further, they always expected the very lowest prices and were prone to scanning the market for the best deal while avoiding long-range commitments. Blondin management decided not to pursue the groundwood converting market. Magazine publishers were concerned with acquiring paper that reproduced illustrations well and that had the desired degree of brightness. In the groundwood printing market, both the political pressures of newspaper publishers and the wild price fluctuations were absent. Neither were the magazine publishers so single-handedly determined as newspaper publishers and converters to buy at rock-bottom prices. Still further, the mill could readily adapt its existing equipment to manufacture groundwood printing papers that utilized a high percentage of the short-fibered pulps easily produced in Grand Rapids. Also, the mill would be able to deliver magazine paper to customers in large rolls, simplifying demands on the finishing department. Many magazines were printed in the Chicago area. Potential customers there could be easily supplied and shipping costs would be reasonable. So the Blondin Paper management decided to use the Grand Rapids Mill for the specialized production of paper for magazine publishers. When newsprint was the main product of the small Grand Rapids mill, the amount it manufactured constituted only a minuscule portion of total United States production. After the change to groundwood paper, in the words of one company official, our production figure is not so easily lost in the total. In 1946, the United States produced 700,000 tons of groundwood paper. The Blandin Paper Company contributed 46,000 tons to that number, representing about 6.5% of the total groundwood paper market. So yes, that certainly is a change. With a measurable portion of the groundwood paper market, the Grand Rapids Mill carefully nurtured its long-standing tradition of quality production. The company made only the higher grades of groundwood magazine paper, and even during the war years, when shortages and other difficulties led to nationwide lowered requirements for established grades of paper, the Blandin Company not only maintained but even improved the quality of the paper produced. When a strong seller's market after the war allowed manufacturing shortcuts, the Blandin reputation still did not falter. The Blandin Paper Company also took every precaution to maintain good customer relations. As expressed by one company officer, if a customer is short of paper, we should do our best to schedule his tonnage early and to get it to him in the shortest possible time. If he wants several rolls wrapped together, we get no more money for the extra work involved, but we're building his goodwill. The little something extra in the way of service pays future dividends. During high demand and occasional paper shortages in the late 1940s, the company many times scheduled seven-day weeks to meet its obligations. The production standards of the Blandin Paper Company were accepted by major magazine publishers. Such nationally circulated magazines as Look, Better Homes and Gardens, and Esquire used paper made in Grand Rapids. Very impressive. Good start. We'll see where it goes.